I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. They say it takes a village to raise a child, but maybe you just need a few moms in your corner. Every week, we check in with a diverse group of parents for their common sense and savvy advice. And today, now that the gift-giving season is officially over for now, it's time to assess the damage, and we don't mean to the wallet, we mean to our nerves. We've talked about present overload on this program before, but sometimes the want for things can take on a life of its own, whether it's that iPhone, that North Face jacket, or these.
11 Concours exclusive. You see what I'm saying?
I ain't been out in 11 years.
The shoppers were talking about those new Air Jordans, those coveted and expensive basketball shoes. The newest ones are retailing for $180 and going for hundreds more online, and they even sparked disturbances at stores across the country when they were introduced. So we thought this was a good time to take a deep breath and talk about why we want that stuff to begin with and how we draw the line in our own families. With us are three of our regular contributors to our parenting roundtable, Danny Tucker, Leslie Morgan Steiner, and Jolene Ivey. We're also joined today by James Roberts. He is the author of Shiny Objects, Why We Spend Money We Don't Have in Search of Happiness We Cannot Buy. He's also a professor of marketing at Baylor University in Waco. Professor Roberts, moms, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Michelle.
Hello, Michelle.
But Danny, the holidays, it seems, have put you into kind of an anti-brand name rant. You sent us a rocket. You were very irritated about this whole run on these Air Jordans. Tell us why.
Very irritated because the run also causes, you know, the robberies and the crime, especially in my neighborhood and our working income bracket. Not talking about those who can't afford it. 9 times out of 10, those who can't afford it to get it for their kids go to schools with others who wear the same thing. But I'm talking to the moms and dads out there who are buying it, and you're sending your kid to school, and he's sitting next to Payless Shoe Shopping Joe. That you got a problem with that. Your kid got a $180 pair of shoes on. He's got on a $20 pair of shoes. You might cause a little stir with that, and parents are not thinking about that. Another thing, too, to watch these kids in my neighborhood who are so pressed to have, they ain't been out in 11 years. Oh, my God. Michael Jordan doesn't need your money. And we don't think of it that way. You won't pay your rent, but you'll give Michael Jordan $180. He's got a place to live. So it is really affecting my neighborhood, and that's why I was so crazy about it.
Upset about it. Leslie, you're saying that sometimes the brands are worth it.
Sometimes the quality is worth it. And also, I think that I'm one of those families that Danny is referring to, that my kids go to a private school, and a lot of the kids have nice brand name stuff. And so it's not as big an issue. So we try to buy the kids what we can afford. And some of it is really nice. Some of it is Nike stuff. And my two girls, they both have UGG boots that were very expensive. But even given that we can afford some nice things, I still try to steer them.
What's the line?
Towards Old Navy and Target.
But where do you draw the line?
I don't think there's a really hard line. I just, God, I don't want them to be excessive and spoiled. And I guess the line for me is, if they think that their self-esteem is going to come from a certain item of clothing, then I sit down and have a big talk with them.
If you say, what, if mom, I'm going to die if I don't get some pink Uggs, then you know it's time to jump
in. Or if
I
bought them a pair of Uggs last week and they want another pair, then I kind of lose my stack.
Okay. Jolene, where do you draw the line with your five boys?
Well, it's a couple of things. I mean, when we were first starting out, we were broke. And we started out going to Goodwill, and we relied on hand-me-downs, and we didn't care, and the kids didn't care, so that worked out great. Now the kids are older. We do have a little more money, so we don't do what we don't have to do. The kids really don't want to wear anything from their friends anymore, so we just don't do that. I've really tried lately to consider what I want to wear, and I put that into the calculation with what they wear. I don't want to be cheap on them and balance our check account on them. You know, I want to make sure that there is a balance between what they wear and what I wear.
Yes, you know, there's a saying that's the definition of a yuppie, somebody who denies their children everything and themselves nothing. But
right.
But Professor Roberts, you know, your book, Shiny Objects, is titled Why We Spend Money We Don't Have in Search of Happiness We Can't Buy. You're the marketing guy here. Why do we?
Well, there's a lot of good reasons. One, and this probably will be good news for your panel here, is that family is a very important socialization. It's the most important socialization. It's what I think in what Danny was having to say. If you set – I have a saying I say, more is caught than taught. The kids look to their parents, especially teenage children. The primary socialization agent is their parents. Certainly peers run a close second, but they look to their parents for their behavior. And if their parents are out there, you know, using credit cards, going to the ATM machine, wearing all the latest brands, expensive cars and things like that, that's caught. That's caught, and they pick up on that. And so very important is that parents set the tone for their children. And what's really important for your panel today is that mothers are, as relates to consumer spending, mothers are more important than fathers in setting that tone.
How come?
They're still they may still work and do everything else, but they're still the primary socialization agent in the family.
You know, your book contains some very fascinating research.
Thank
just
you.
About the way. Well, yes, you're welcome. About how even thinking about money can affect our sense of generosity toward others. I mean, you had this one study that you cited in the book, early in the book, where you say that there have been these experiments done where planting the thought of money into people's heads, or how much money they had, or how much even monopoly money, would make them less generous and altruistic toward others. And I was just fascinated by that, because I would have thought perhaps it might be the other way, that if you thought you had more money and you were more comfortable yourself, then you'd be more inclined. It's like having the ice cream in front of you. If you know you have it, then you don't need to eat it, because you know you can always get more. And I was just puzzled by that. Like, why is that? What's your take on
that? That is fascinating. My favorite saying from that movie called with Michael Keaton in it, where he goes, "Money makes him crazy." It was Mom, and he was the one who was a stay-at-home mother. But the idea there is, and it's funny that you brought that up, because I am currently doing a science fair project with my daughter, who's in eighth grade, and we are looking at whether the presence of money impacts people's generosity. And what the careful research tells us, that very much does. So money and thinking about money tells us, or leads us, to look at people as competition, as somebody we should compare against, and rather kind of like we're all in this together. It's like it's me against you. People who are primed about money, and sometimes it might be something as small as just a picture of floating dollars on a computer screen as someone sitting in a room answering a questionnaire. We find when people are primed, when money becomes salient, they're less empathetic with people, they're less likely to help, and they see people as competition rather than as brothers and sisters.
What about these stories emerge every so often? I mean, a year or so ago, and the movie was Mr. Mom, by the way, that you were thinking about.
I couldn't pull that one
out.
Yep.
Well, it happens to all of us. But remember, every now and again, there have been these stories that just become emblems for consumer behavior just gone terribly wrong. I mean, it was a year or so ago that there was a man who was trampled to death at the door of one of the big box stores.
As
people were lined up for those so-called doorbuster sales, and that went tragically wrong. There were reports of crowds rushing the stores for the new Air Jordans over the holidays. And, you know, and so retail therapy is one thing, but why? You know, why? What is it that is that about crowd behavior, or is that about consumer behavior in your view?
Yeah, we are definitely a consumer culture, and we take our lead from Madison Avenue. Last year, Madison Avenue spent about $131 billion on us to tell us that happiness can be purchased at the mall, online, or from a catalog. And so we've got Madison Avenue working against us, but we also have a lot of peer pressure, particularly when we're talking about teenagers today. Teens have very weakly held identities. You know, they're looking to define themselves, and they look to others. And my favorite story is, it used to be, and we all know the saying, keeping up with the Joneses, right? We looked across the fence and we saw somebody with a new Chevy in their driveway, or maybe a new barbecue grill. We said, hey, I can afford that. I make as much money as he does. But today, that's keeping up with the Joneses has morphed into, if you will, keeping up with the Gateses. You know, we have access to the internet, and we have access to 24/7 media. And so no longer is it just, can we keep up with the people next door who largely make the same amount of money as us? We want Shaquille O'Neal's 70,000 square foot house.
So we know more about the lifestyles of the rich and famous,
yeah,
as it were.
The 24/7 access to media.
That's in our faces now. Interesting. I'm speaking with James Roberts. He's a professor of marketing, of all things, at Baylor University, so which means this is your fault, in part, and author of the book Shiny Objects, Why We Spend Money We Don't Have in Search of Happiness We Can't Buy. Also with us are regular moms, Leslie Morgan Steiner, Jolene Ivey, and Danny Tucker. Danny, let me go back to you, though. I know that you're saying, look, this can be dangerous in some communities. That, in fact, there was a terrible story in the Washington, D.C. area on Christmas Day where a young man was apparently shot and killed for his coat, for his North Face coat, and which was terrible. And then it turns out that the same man had been stabbed earlier in the year for his phone, and he'd been given this coat by his fiancée, so you can understand why he wanted to wear it, but terrible story. On the other hand, a lot of people grow up with hand-me-downs, not just people in big families. I knew I grew up with hand-me-downs because I had a sister who's just a little bit older than me. And there was a point at which I just like, gee, can I just have one outfit that's just mine? Can I just have one outfit that is just for me? You know, what's so terrible?
It's not, I think you can. I mean, my kids have had both. Hand-me-downs and then Christmas, they get outfits for just for them. But it's what we get our kids. And again, I'm speaking to the single moms out here and those in the working class like myself. We have to learn to teach our children that their identity is not in, okay, you know what, if I spend $200 on this North Face jacket, this makes you a better kid.
But can I just push you just on this for 1 second? Because I think there is a phenomenon of, and I'll just say, not just with African-Americans, but a lot of people from other backgrounds, where they feel that if they are not dressed well, they are not going to be well respected in the workplace. I mean, I can tell you, like, of all the African-American professionals I know, I don't know a one who doesn't show up to work dressed particularly, I mean, carefully, because there's a feeling that if you don't show up well dressed, you will not be as respected. So isn't there some truth to that? I mean, you try. I mean, Leslie's waving her hand here, but I'm just saying, if I were to go to a certain store dressed in my Converse, which I wear on the weekends, I rather doubt that the salesperson would be as attentive to me as he or she would be to others. Let me just say.
You know, I agree with that. And I feel like it's part of human nature. And I have to have some sympathy for these kids, even though I do agree that hurting somebody or rioting over a sneaker is ridiculous. But I remember really strongly growing up as a kid that there's a certain time, especially when you're a teenager, when clothes are like your armor. And every kid needs that. And there's nothing wrong with it per se. I think it's very natural that you need to toughen yourself up. Sometimes kids need protection, and sometimes they get it from certain brand names.
Danny, you want to respond to that? And then Jolene?
I do, and I understand, and I know what you're saying, and I would just bring it to Imani, who did just such, made me, put me in tears on Christmas
Day. Your daughter.
My daughter, who said, you know, I don't understand why we're going crazy over these Jordans. This is my 14-year-old. And she said, you know, how Jesus was the reason for the season. But my point was she got it, and that made me feel good as a mom, because my thing with them is I understand that, and I understand what Leslie's saying, what you all are saying. When you get to a certain level, you want to, you know, you want to be able to wear Prada or Fendi if you can. But
I don't wear Prada or Fendi, so don't look over here.
But in our area, my problem is putting your children's identity in that. I've always told my kids that having Tommy Hilfiger on your back or Eddie Bauer or North Face it's not going to make you any different if you have Sears and Roebuck on your back. And that's what we're not teaching our kids, especially in my neighborhood.
Jolene, you wanted to say something?
Well, when Leslie said that this protection from brand names that you might get, to me, it's kind of the opposite. And when I heard about the kid who got, or the young person who got killed because of a North Face jacket, that really scared me. And that's primarily because I had bought two of my kids' North Face coats this winter. And I got them because last year, year before, whenever it was, I got them really cheap coats because, you know, I was in a hurry and that's what was there. And they didn't keep them warm and they were nasty and they fell apart.
And they didn't even last the winter.
No. So I just thought this year I'm going to get them each a really nice coat. And I got these really nice coats. And then next thing I know, somebody's killing somebody for one. And I know that used to happen a long time ago. I had that little niggling thought in my mind. And I said, no, that hasn't happened. That doesn't happen anymore. But here you go. So it's not protection. Sometimes it can be the thing that draws danger to you.
Professor Roberts, I have to put you on the spot here. I think you have teenagers.
I do.
Well,
13
right?
and 15.
13 and 15. Do you ever let them buy brand names?
Oh, you would have to ask me that right at Christmas time. But yes, matter of fact, but it was with great protest. And we were thinking, okay, what can we get for our children? Again, the children of privilege who have too much already. And so we said, my wife said, well, what about a North Face jacket? And I went pale white. That wouldn't be my idea of a good purchase. But like your panel says, sometimes you need to splurge and allow them to buy something that allows them to fit in with the crowd, to have something that everyone else wants. And I think that's not a bad thing. I think really what we have to remember that it's all about moderation. As long as, like Danny was saying, we can teach them that, you know, some things are good, but you have to remember that's not what defines you as a person. So the real gist of my book is all things in moderation. So yes, my One of my daughters got a North Face. What she returned it because she wanted money to go to a dance camp this summer. So we buy things like brands like that, very expensive brands like that, very seldomly and with much great thought behind them, because we do know that's a lot of money and there could be a lot of things we could do with that money. And the key here, though, is that we all want to be happy. We all want to fit in. We all want to be good parents. But we just have to remember that happiness is not going to come from the way we spend our money.
Danny, you know I'm going to pick on you about your nails, too, because you happen not to have those fancy nails, but I was all ready for you because you really like fancy nails, right? You like
Love
to get
them.
Your nails done.
I had to give them up because I went into my, you know, I said when Monty hit high school, I got to go into overdrive. You know, I tried started teaching Zumba, picked up another job and trying to sell my articles out there because it's time now to buckle down. She's going to hit college. So I got to give them up. But that's what this is what this is all about. My nails didn't, you know, identify me. I love to have them pretty. But right now, can't do it. Can't
I would like to say that Danny walked in with a Starbucks today. That's all I got to say.
Uh-oh.
That was a gift for Christmas. Thank you.
It was a ceramic cup that I gave her, and she put her home brew in it. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. New Year's resolution very briefly from everybody. Jolene, do you have one?
Well, yeah. I want to spend more time doing fun things with my kids instead of staying on their cases all the time about
Amen.
Homework and housework. So.
Okay. Leslie?
I just have to add one more comment because I don't have a New Year's resolution. Clothes are clothes and values are values. And I do think it's really important, even if you can sympathize with your kids' need for something extravagant, to very much teach them that self-esteem comes from inside.
All right. Danny?
My New Year's resolution is to send out at least 3 or 4 of my articles and pray they get picked up.
Okay. How about that? Professor Roberts, New Year's resolution?
Yeah, my resolution is when I wrote this book, the whole idea is I wanted to have opportunities like this to spread the word that we are not what we buy, and happiness doesn't come in a package.
All right. Professor James A. Roberts is author of the book Shiny Objects, Why We Spend Money We Don't Have in Search of Happiness We Can't Buy. He's a marketing professor at Baylor University. Congratulations on the Alamo Bowl, by the way.
So, yeah, big victory, big days.
Big victory, big day. He was with us from member station KWBU in Waco, Texas. Here with us in our Washington, D.C. studios, three of our regular moms, Danny Tucker, Leslie Morgan Steiner, Jolene Ivey. Thank you all and Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year to you.
And that's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin, and you've been listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more tomorrow. Strap with the gun bottom.